I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience, a podcast where dads can connect and openly share stories. On this very exciting special mini episode of The Dad Experience, we're bringing back Eric Silvera. On this episode, Eric and I talk about travel with little ones, near and far. All of our ups and downs and our trials and tribulations and all the experiences that we have traveling, good and bad. So stick around and join us on this very exciting episode of
The Dad Experience.
Welcome to The Dad Experience. Exciting, exciting, exciting. I'm always very excited when Eric joins as a guest host. He brings a new life to The Dad Experience. So Eric, thanks for joining us as always to The Dad Experience.
Got it. What's going on?
Not much. We just took two little ones to church. That's the first trip that we've done kind of on our own to church. And it was a task.
Was there crying and running around in the pews or what?
There wasn't a lot of crying. There was a lot of talking out loud, like just not understanding that, you know, we're listening.
Got it.
And being there. So my daughter didn't get that. And then, so I would take her out into the lobby. We definitely figured out that there was nobody there, and we ended up sitting in a section. My wife's like, well, we're far away from the door. I'm like, let's just sit here. We'll sit by the music. It'll be easy. I know my daughter likes music. And all of a sudden, all the kids sat by us. I'm like, well, look, see, I picked the right section by the musicians. You know, that's where they all hang out. So we're sitting there, and finally I took her out in the lobby a couple times, and then we'd go in the lobby and she'd get quiet, and she's like, music, music. I'm like, well, you have to be quiet when we go in there. So that worked. I mean, she liked the music. That held her over, and at least maybe if we go more, you know, continue to go here now that we've gone once, then it'll get a little bit better.
How big is the church? Is it a big denomination?
Yeah, it's pretty big. I couldn't tell you about how many people were there, but it was full. I mean, it was an 11 a.m. service, so I'm sure that's their more full service, you know, people getting things done in the morning and then going there, you know, after they get people moving and have breakfast. So it was pretty big, pretty packed, but it seemed like everybody was pretty receptive. No, but it wasn't like an airplane. Like, we're going to talk about travel today. Yeah. It wasn't like an airplane with kids. It was more definitely kid friendly than the airplane.
You were hoping
the
church would be a little more accepting than the people on the airplane, you know?
Yeah, man, it was, So church was interesting, and it was definitely a feat, but it was good for our kids to go, and it was good for us. It was good to get back there, so we were pretty happy about that.
That's awesome.
How about you? How have things been going?
Everything's been good. I just came off of a week where my wife was actually similar to you. She was overseas in Europe. She was in Milan for work for the past week, so I was just doing the dad thing by myself, which is fine. I've actually had to do it a bunch of times. Usually for my wife has had to travel for work a few times for a different job and for friend things. But, you know, it was like a lot of like getting the kids ready in the morning, getting the kids together at night. And luckily my mom was here to help. My mother-in-law was here one day and our nanny helped. Nice. So we had some good help. And my son started school this week, started pre-K. So it was navigating all that without the mom around. And I think I did.
So how did mom deal with that without being home to see him off for pre-K?
You know, she was definitely upset earlier in the week, and then she just had to accept it. It was like, you know, there's nothing you could do. I said, look, this is a big job and you have to do it. And you know what? He's already been to school before.
Okay.
So we took him to his first day of the threes program. That's a big deal. And so we took care of it. It was all good. It worked out all right.
Yeah. And then kindergarten is kind of like the next.
I think that's really, the big really one. Big exactly. One.
Like that's the really, really big one. So, and I'm sure that it'll work out and she'll be there for that. You know?
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, no, it was my wife just went back from maternity leave. She started back.
Wow. And it's
good. It was hard for her. Thankfully she was so busy because they moved her school. So she went from first grade to middle school. So she's been busy, you know, stressed and busy about
that's a major adjustment of going.
It is a major adjustment.
11 to 13 year olds.
Right. So she's been busy. You know, I think she kept her occupied at least. You know, there were days where she was still down about it, but about the kids going back to daycare and her, you know, going back and she's been out for a while. She's been out since April. So it definitely was tougher for her. And but she's handled it well. And it's all good. It's all good. And she's getting done earlier now. That's the nice thing. And so I told her, I said, so you'll get home earlier and be with the kids. So you're good. I mean, there's some positives there, too. So she's nervous about it,
too, right?
I started too, so I started back. So we, so today's episode, like we kind of said at the top of this, we're gonna talk a little bit about travel because I just got back from a big trip. You kind of had your wife traveling while you were home with the kids, and you've done traveling with the kids. So we thought that a travel episode would be great without kids, just kind of talk about all those good things And yeah, so we just got back from a trip. So we got back on Sunday, and then we were back for our teacher days, like on that Tuesday. So it was a quick turnaround, very quick turnaround.
Wow. So you had to go back to work with all that jet lag still hanging over.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, it's a little bit easier coming this way, I found, though. I don't know about you, because you were just overseas and not a couple months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been the same thing. Yeah.
Over there was tough, especially taking the two little ones, but getting used to the time. But then coming back, it was fine. Coming back, it's not as hard, I don't think.
You go to sleep late one night, take a nap in the middle of the day one day if you can, and then boom, you're back into it.
Exactly. So, well, it leads us right into there's a great segue here, because we, I've been teasing a little bit on Instagram, and it's kind of gotten pushed back, which is no big deal, but we're talking about travel. It's one of those ones that I feel like is super important to talk about our experiences with travel. Now, having done it myself with two little ones overseas, you know, 8-hour flight and then another 3-hour flight with layovers on top of that, and you've traveled with the kids, right?
Yeah, I've traveled a couple times with my son, Miles, on planes, and then we haven't traveled with both of them on planes, but we've traveled with just him, and then we've done a few road trips with both kids, and then we just did one like 3 weeks ago with all of us.
Good. Together. Well, you can give us the perspective on the road trips, because we've done like a 3 hours, 3.5 hour away, but anything major more than that. But the plane was a big one. So, you know, first off, that's interesting. Going over. It was okay. So we were lucky enough that my wife and myself and then my mother-in-law flew over there. My parents were already in Malta, which is where my dad was born, and all my family lives there. So it was, you know, I don't know that I would have necessarily just decided to take my kids overseas for a family vacation. That seems like a lot. But with my family being there, it was one of the things that I wanted to do. My grandmother is 92 years old. Wow. So,
and got to hang out with their great grandma.
Yes, they did. Yeah. So it was important for me to meet her and for her to meet them. So we decided we were going to go, and especially going while they're under two, because when they're under two, they're still free. So they were both free, but they were lap tickets, which 8 hours sitting in a seat on you is not always easy, but we had enough hands on deck
So that's crazy.
So, you know, I can tell you this. So on the way over, we had my mother-in-law, and my daughter's active. She's very active. I don't know if anybody's ever seen anything on Instagram or whatever, but she likes to be busy. She does not like to be sitting still. She does not like to sit in one place or be confined or not have the option to do what she wants. So at about hour four and the second or third time watching Coco, she was kind of done. Yeah. And it wasn't horrible on the way over or anything like that. It was just, she's definitely active. So finally passing her off, and she got down for maybe about 2 hours and slept, and then we got to Amsterdam and she was pretty beat. But like I said, the way over is good. We had a lot of stuff, you know, with planes nowadays, it's not so bad, especially if they're, I think if she had her own seat, it would have been better.
Yeah.
But you know, each one has their own TV. Most of the movies, I don't know if you remember when we were younger, if you ever flew, the TVs and the movies, I mean, they came out of the ceiling.
I remember flying on planes where they didn't even have them on the ceiling. They had them just on the wall all the way in the front.
Yes, it was a projector. Yeah. And then they used to smoke. Man, my first plane ride to Malta, I was five. It was 1985. It was literally smoking flight still.
Oh my God. And
the projectors run. So could you imagine going 8 hours on a flight with people smoking?
That's insane. It's crazy.
It was crazy. And I have nothing against smokers or anything like that, but it was just in a confined area. No, it's
fucking
crazy.
Terrible. That's horrible. That was
horrible. So, I mean, it was crazy. So at least it's updated now. It's a little bit more travel friendly, but we were really, 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 really nervous getting on that airplane. Not because the kids weren't going to do well, not because she'd cry, but because of everybody around us. Because I'm like, all these people are going on vacation.
You just never know how people are, yeah.
And people, so on the way over, we had great people. We had a lady that was sitting next to my wife who, you know, shout out to her, because if something would fall or something needed to be wiped or whatever, she would just wipe it up and take care of it. The people behind us were the same thing. You know, they would wave to the kids. They would try and talk to them. So we had great people on the way over. And have you noticed, I've said on the way over quite a few times.
Yeah, I was about to say what happened on the way back.
So everything was good and all that stuff. We took your advice and tried to, you know,
did that help at all?
It did a little bit. She, like I said, man, she is active. She's an active kid. and it's all right. I'd rather have her be active than not. So on the way over, it was great. We got there. She was really excited to go. We'd been talking to her about going to Malta, and we were seeing, you know, showing pictures. And so she knew who everybody was. And when we got there, she was excited and got to see. And then my parents were already there. So she hadn't seen my parents, her grandparents, for 3 weeks or so before that. So it was nice to kind of reconnect for them to see them and see them there. So that was great, and spent two weeks over there, and visiting a lot of family, visiting the beach and swimming, and definitely was a good place to learn how to swim for our kids, because it's all salt water.
Right.
It's a lot easier to float in salt water.
Yeah, of course.
So it was a lot easier. So then we got home and put her in our pool. I was like, whoa, she can actually swim better. So it was crazy. It was great. Awesome. All those swim lessons, you know, and I was like, man, they're not paying off. And then we go to Malta, and now she's like deciding that she's going to start swimming better. So that helped. And we found kid activities. It's a very kid friendly country. And, you know, that's the biggest thing I find with traveling is when you go, if you want to get out, you got to find the places that are kid friendly and just do the research. And we did. And we knew that going in, because we've gone quite a few times. But, you know, I definitely finding that stuff was important. And just having we were lucky too, because we had a place to stay. So it's not like we were in a hotel. So we ate lunches and dinners at home, and my family's all within a block of each other pretty much. So it was like, we always had people around. We were always visiting family. And Malta is a very Catholic country. So they do feasts.
Is it an island also, or is it?
Yeah, Malta's an island, 60 miles south of Sicily.
Yeah, right.
And it's its own country, and it's 90% Catholic, or even more than that. I don't know the exact stats, so don't quote me on that. But so every weekend there's a feast. So have you seen the movie The Godfather? I'm sure you have.
Yeah, of course.
You know, the second one, when they have the Italian feast, when he's running up on top of the buildings.
Sure. Yeah. Of course.
No, I'm sorry, Mom.
Yeah, of course.
And it's basically, they have one every weekend there. And there was one in our village, which was really neat for the kids to see. All the family would come together, and they do like big, huge firework shows almost every day in Malta. And like it, the only thing that was tough was
I would have to say there were a lot of fireworks on your Instagram stories. I remember
there were a lot of fireworks. There were some cool ones. There were some cool ones, and they're all the people, the community, like builds them. So each village has their own firework factory, and they make their own. The people just kind of volunteer and do their thing and make fireworks for these feasts. And
everybody had like hands and fingers and all that stuff.
There are a lot of times where there are some, they're dangerous. I can tell you that, because there have been a lot of explosions, because I said, it's not like you have these like professional pyrotechnics. I mean, the people have been doing it for a long time, so I'm not going to say that, but it can be dangerous at times. But the only downside of all these fireworks is they decide they do these ones that they're not colored or anything. They do them during the day. They'll do them at 8 a.m. They'll do these things like bombs, man. It sounds like there's bombs going on. So 8 a.m. and noon. 8 a.m. is right around the time my kids are going to get up, that last hour, especially if you get up at 8 before them and try and like do something before they get up. So they have 8 a.m. There's like 15 minutes of these loud just explosions. There's no color, nothing.
It's an alarm for the island.
And then at noon again, which is when the kids are going to go down and take their nap. So it's like, man, it's like time. Have you seen Mary Poppins?
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning of Mary Poppins, when they're when they do the time, the standard time, and they explode the cannon, it's just like this. It's like everybody batting down the hatches and figure out when they're going to have this explosion, because we got to figure this out. So that was tough. But man, there's great things there. We found a lot of cool things to do. Obviously, the sea, it's 5 minutes from where we live, so we can go swim with the kids. But the movie Popeye was filmed there with Robin Williams, the old movie. So that whole village that he filmed in is still there, and it's kind of a children's place. They have it is really cool. And you know, the toys Playmobil, have you seen those toys before? They're like little plastic. They sell them all over the United States. Pretty popular toy, Playmobil. You'd see them. They're like little people, but not quite.
I know what you're talking about.
Anyways, they make those in Malta. So there's a big, huge, like children's play place where they have like thousands upon thousands of those toys. And then outside has like an outdoor huge pirate ship thing that so there's a lot of cool things to do, and it's just keeping them occupied and doing things. Great dinners, great meals. And I found over there in Malta that they were so kid friendly. You walk into a restaurant, every waiter would stop and talk to the kids, like almost to like, if you were, and I don't know about in New York, but I know in Detroit, like you don't go into a restaurant and waiter seat you and they're like, they get down to the kid's level and are like talking to them or waving and smiling. I mean, it may happen, but it doesn't usually happen in a restaurant.
I gotta say, New York is super kid friendly, actually. They're really good here.
They are. That's good.
Because everyone's walking around with them all the time. It's I would say, I don't know if everyone's, all the waiters and waitresses are always talking to the kids, but I mean, you go into a restaurant, like they have kids cups, they know the
milk, sure.
Green water, all that. They have it like kind of, they got the routine down and they know where it's set up. You
know? No, and they're kid friendly here too in Detroit, but what I'm saying is like, as far as personable, these people would like, the waiters and stuff would just sit with the kids, or they, every time they come by, they talk to them or kind of, you know, tease them a little bit. It was really weird for us to experience that because it doesn't always happen everywhere. So that was neat. So overall, it was a great experience. That's now. Cool.
Do you think your kids will appreciate it?
I think so.
Obviously, your older daughter is old. She might have some memories of it, you know.
She might. Now, you know, I said a few times on the airplane, there and back, I looked at my wife and like, we're never doing this again. There's no way. I'm like, yeah. I was so beat. I was so tired. And it was about the 15th time I had to like, not restrain, but like hold my daughter so she wouldn't just try and jump up and get out of the seat or do whatever or kick a seat.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, the way over wasn't bad. Now, the way back coming home, the way back was better for us as far as like people, because we had my mother-in-law and my parents flew back. So we had enough hands that we could just rotate the kids and a few people would always have a break. My daughter slept for about 2 hours on the first flight, because it was two flights. So we flew from Detroit. On the way back, we flew from Malta to Amsterdam, which is about a 3-hour flight. And then Amsterdam to Detroit, which is about an 8-hour flight. So she slept a little bit on the flight from Malta. And then we got to Amsterdam and we had breakfast or lunch or whatever. And then we got on the airplane and we flew the rest of the way to Detroit. About 3 hours after, I think Coco ended the first time, because she was into Coco while we were over there. She was like, off airplane, all done, airplane done, off airplane. I'm like, oh shit. I was like, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
We're in trouble. So then commenced the screaming. Now let me rewind a little bit even before this. So I had a lot of anxiety going on the airplane the way back. I already had it on the second flight because we're waiting in the, you know, how they let you pre-board. So we were there early enough that we were running back and forth and we were getting our tires. So I'm like, we're going to pre-board because there's tons of people on this flight. We need to have a space for all of our stuff. And while we're sitting there, they had all of us in this like pre-board section where there's not many seats. No, but everybody was sitting in these seats. People that probably shouldn't have been sitting in these seats. I'm holding my oldest daughter because she's, you know, just, I don't want to run into the gates and stuff, you know, overseas. And then my youngest daughter is, you know, we're trying to get the stroller folded up. So while we're sitting there and something about, my daughter goes, poopy diaper, my oldest.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, great. And my wife's like, oh, so you have a poopy diaper. And then all of a sudden I hear the older people sitting there waiting to go. They're like, oh, well, way to announce that to everybody. And I go, I look at them and I'm like, they're kids. I'm like, what? I said,
are they serious?
Yeah. Well, wait, it gets better. Eric, it gets better. You're going to get really mad about this, I think.
I'm angry already.
It gets better. So I'm like, they're just kids. I said, what are you going to do? And I was nice. I'm pretty laid back. So then all of a sudden, My daughter starts to cry a little bit before we get on. I don't know if it's the youngest or the oldest. And this other guy is like, that's why kids should be left at home. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Now, I bit my tongue. I didn't say anything because I don't want to start anything or start a fight. But I was really angry about that. I'm like, this guy doesn't even know. Like, seriously, he didn't know that they're going to visit their great grandma. My dad lived there. You know, I'm not just taking, we should be able to go on a family vacation no matter what. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
But I'm taking my kids to see their great grandmother who's 92 years old. Like, dude, get over it. They're kids. Yeah. You, whether you're not your grandfather, you've been around kids, you're old enough. Like, we're not trying to ruin anything. And that anxiety just makes us worse. So then in turn, what I found is then I was projecting that going, you can't talk, you can't do this, you can't do that. And it ends up, you can't. And when you tell a 2-year-old that, you know what it's like. It's like, it was the worst. So the anxiety just kept building. We're on the airplane. She wants down. Airplane off. I'm like, we can't get off. So then my mother-in-law or my mom took the older one for a little bit to try and just kind of give us a break. And then my youngest one just has this huge blowout all over her pajamas, all over. And we're in the bulkhead. So I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I just want to sit down and breathe for 3 seconds. Cause I'm like panicking at this point going, I need off this airplane. There's nowhere to go. And so I change her and everybody's like, go wash the stuff in the sink in the bathroom. And I get in there and I take this onesie that she blew out on, and I look at it, or this pajama pants or outfit, and I look at it like, I cannot in good conscience wash this pajama thing in this sink for the next person that's coming in, or anybody that's coming. I'm like, no. So then I take it back to the ceiling. Like, so did you wash it? I'm like, no. I said, you guys don't even know what this thing looks like. I'm like, I thought about throwing it out. Like, I thought about putting it in the trash. You're like, well, I'll go back. I'm like, if you go back, I'm going to get up and barricade those doors because no one's going to go wash this. And I'll take it off the airplane and we'll take it home and soak it. I said, I'm not doing that to people. So we had a lot to do, but I'll tell you what.
I've seen blowouts so bad that it's like, you can't even save it. You just got to, tie it up and dump it. Yeah.
So I got off the airplane and it's not like I kissed the ground or anything, but I was like, we got home. We're like, it's so nice to be able to let our kids run from one room to the other, knowing that there's nothing they're going to run into or pull down because we've childproofed enough. It's like, so it was like giving a vacation away from a vacation when we got home. It was crazy, man. It was crazy. So it was, but would I do it again? When I was on the airplane, I think I used some choice words, but I still looked at my wife and I said, absolutely not. I said that earlier, but thinking about it now, I'm already talking about, like, our daughter is not going to be two next year at this time. I mean, we have to go one more time because it's expensive. I mean, it's really expensive to fly to Malta. Yeah. I mean, it's not just
advantage. Yeah, exactly.
So we gotta go one more time. I'm like, it will be better with the older one. She'll be, she'll be almost three. She'll be have her own seat. And I think that was the biggest deal. If I did it again, I think I would have paid for the extra seat and just had her in one.
We learned our lesson the first time we flew up Miles, where we had my mother-in-law and me and Emily. And so we had them just kind of all between us, and I think he had just turned one, so he was pretty young. Second time he was about two, and on the way back we were alone and we said, you know what, we're getting our own seat, that way we get spread out across the way, and and it definitely made it better, because I think the first time we had someone sitting next to us on our way back from a flight, it was like the same thing. The way out there was smooth, the way back that we had horrible turbulence, and I don't love flying, but I was like, I gotta keep it cool. I don't want to project anything onto my son, so I'm trying to keep it cool. The reason why I don't like flying is I was on a plane that nosedived years ago, so I was like, it just ruined my experience over flying after that. And so we're hitting turbulence, and my wife Emily is like, she's choking. I'm holding him in my lap and trying to keep him calm. He's crying. He goes, wait, he looks like he's choking. He's coughing, and he's not really. And then we lift him up, and he projectile vomits all over Emily and into her hand, and she catches it.
No.
So I'm on the aisle. Emily's in the middle, and there's this random woman next to us who's like kind of reading a book, kind of falling asleep. She projectile vomits, and she catches the vomit in her arms and her hand, just like that. And she's just catching it. And I'm just like, what do you want me to do? I was like, get up with you, go throw it out. She's carrying it in her arms and her hand into the bathroom. So after that experience, we were like, all right, you know what? Next time we're getting a seat. So the next time we flew, we just took over the whole aisle. And then, took over the whole row. And then it was totally fine. It wasn't as big of a deal.
Everything's unexpected. And I do have to say, 99.9% of the people and everybody was so helpful. The stewards were amazing on all the flights. It was great. It's, and it's sad that just a couple of people have had bad experience maybe with children or something, that they're just that cranky. But overall it was great. There was one really nice guy behind the guy that, remember the story I was telling you about, the one where the guy said kids should stay at home. There was a guy that his family was farther back in the line, but he was there just standing by the door, and he looked at me, he's like, do not listen to that guy. That guy's, it's awful. That's awful. It was jerky, man. It was just really awful. But overall, I have to say, I'd probably do it again and get the torture.
It's worth it. And honestly, now so the sometimes, even though you're thinking about the money, you're like, that extra, whatever, that extra $200 or $250.
Oh, yeah. It was worth it.
It's worth it for the sanity, because if you're coming back and you had a great trip, like, that the stress of that on the way home could just ruin the entire thing.
Exactly. No, exactly. Exactly. You're right. And you know what else is helpful is we spent a little bit extra on top of it because we got the bulkhead seats.
Oh, right.
Those are like, those are ones that are like now the comfort ones or whatever that you get on a lot of flights. So we just forked it out, and I'm thank God we did that because then we had also had a bassinet. Like we were able to get a bassinet that could hang on the wall.
That worked well,
the it worked great. You know, they don't tell you about this. And this is the tip that I'm going to say right now. They don't tell you that if there's turbulence, the baby can't be in there. So on the way over, I'd say 3 hours of the trip, maybe four, was turbulence. You know, where the seatbelt sign was on. You can't have it when the seatbelt sign's on. You can't have them in there. So it's like, it wasn't worth it. You know what it made? You know what it made? And it, well, it's free to get that. You don't have to pay for that.
Oh, it is free. Oh, it is free. Oh,
you don't have to pay for that. It was more expensive for us to sit in those bulkhead seats, but we didn't have to pay for the bassinet. But you know what made it nice is being in that firm. It ended up being a place to put things. So like if toys needed to go in there, or extra blankets, or a pillow, or the bottle for the baby, or a sippy cup. It was a great thing for that. So I do still recommend, even though I didn't use it a ton on the way over, we did on the way back. Is it definitely was worth that. And you know what's creepy about it too is they have like this little mesh thing that goes over top of the baby and buckles them in. So we're like, you're supposed to put that over their face. It was a little creepy That's really weird, but it was like a safety thing. So, but overall it was good. You know, Europe has a little bit different philosophy on belts with kids, the safety belts. So like our transatlantic flight, you don't buckle them in with you. There's nothing. You just have them sit. I don't know how you did it when you did it, but
there's no seatbelts.
No, they sit on your lap. Now I belted myself in, but the kid was not to be belted in. That's the policy of this airline that we were on. So then when we got on the other airline to Malta, they wanted them buckled in and gave us an extra belt to buckle them in with. So it was a belt that attached us. So that was different and weird. And I was a little weirded out. And their philosophy on the U.S. flight company was that it could do more damage for them if they were with me.
Right.
So, and then over there, I'm assuming that's the opposite. So it was really, really interesting to see the different philosophies on that. So, you know, most of what I found is most of the airlines have been so super great and have done it so many times and they're kid friendly. They definitely are. Even if there are passengers on there that aren't, the stewardess know what's going on. They would bring cookies to the kids. They put it down, man. And I would say for people to do it, but why do you think it's important to travel with our kids? Do you have a thought on that?
I mean, I think if you know, you're lucky enough and you're fortunate enough to be able to afford getting out with your kids, you have to expose them to different things. I mean, that's the big thing. Like I grew up and, you know, my family, my dad, you know, always saved enough to take a trip every summer. My mom was a teacher. My dad worked at the which is the local electric company here. And, you know, sometimes it would be like just to Atlantic City for a few days. Sometimes it would be to the Bahamas. Like it all varied. But I mean, I think the only way, you know, it's one of the ways to help your kids grow and see other cultures and other perspectives. And just like the way even other people live within America is by taking them, you know, on trips, you know, and that's how they're going to get the sense like, oh, not everyone is the same as they are in my town or my bubble, whatever I live in. So it's just the exposure. And the more people are exposed to different things, the more they grow. And so I think it's important to travel. And then, you know, hopefully that in like, spark something within them that they want to travel and try different things and see different things too.
Absolutely.
As time goes on, you know.
Absolutely. No, I agree. And you know, my travel for me and my wife, what we like to do is we're not big sightseers. We like to do things outdoors, and then I like to immerse myself in like culture and food and
and
I don't need to see museums. I don't need to see, you know, old things, which we do go do those things and see the history and do things like that. It's really important for our kids to learn and for me to learn. But I think the biggest thing that I like to do when I travel is just go live like wherever I'm at, whether it's in the United States, whether it's in Malta, whether it's in, you know, England or wherever I'm going to go. I want to experience that and try and just embrace the culture and be a part of the culture. And which is nice in Malta because we can do that because our family's there. I don't feel like we're tourists when we're there because I mean, we live there when we're there. We're not staying in a hotel. We're going to the grocery stores. We're going to the churches. We're going to the different parties and events that are the community things. So it's really neat for them to see that. And it's neat that it's a totally different culture for our kids. So I do hope the same thing. I hope that that sparks something for them too, and let them go. When you do travel though, and you know, for me on this one, I might not be the best person to ask because I've been to Malta so many times, but how do you find a balance between like doing things that are like well done or things that are good to do or things that aren't just a tourist trap when you travel places? What do you do to find that balance for your family?
You know, I mean, I think we, you know, I'm similar to what you described. Emily and I are both similar to you in the sense, when we travel alone, we look for certain things that people say, like, oh, you have to see this. It's important to see that. We find out the big things that people were seeing, but we often will mark those down. All right, we got to see this. And then a lot of times we've traveled to cities without maps or any guidebooks or things like that. And we just know, like, all right, these are the things people talk about. And then let's just explore and roam. And so that's kind of always been our philosophy when traveling together prior to kids. And then it kind of just translated the same way with kids. I think, you know, if there's like a thing for kids to do, like, we'll look at that if there's something fun like that. But otherwise, I think we try and check out the few things people like, go, you have to do this. And otherwise, we're just kind of go with the flow throughout the day. And it's a lot of walking around or driving around, or it depends where you're going. And a lot of the times traveling, well, since we've had the both kids, we've only really done road trips. And it's been a mix of road trips to see other friends, or, you know, so we're staying with people and then they're telling us what they want to see. We did our first road trip this summer where it was just us, the four of us alone with the family. So, as a family of four, so no parents, no grandparents, no friends that we're staying with. We stayed in a hotel, and for that, it was very much like we got there. It's like, all right, hotel recommends a restaurant. Go check out this restaurant. We had some recommendations of things we should be doing. Otherwise, it was like we knew we wanted to hit the pool, wanted to hit the beach, do some mini golf, little things like that. And so again, that's just like a go with the flow. And I think for us, like as people on, like as parents, and then like, just to travel, you know, if you bake an itinerary and you're like, we have to stick to this, and we, you know, all these things are baked into it, and you know, you miss something, like you can drive yourself crazy. Like my dad, or my mom travels, she sees every fucking museum, every statue. My dad literally, he'll call me like, I can't take this anymore, I can't do this. You know, he'll be like, I didn't want to have a beer, so I got to sit down. And so I said, Dad, you should travel with me and Emily because we're the exact opposite. we literally are like, okay, like, oh, can we have a drink now? Oh, it's not too early to have a drink? Great, cool. Let's have one. Oh, we can eat again? All right, let's eat again.
You know, right? So
for us, it's like, it's doing that. You know, like we'll sleep in. We're okay with that. We're okay with like if the kids are sleeping, like we'll sleep in. We'll, you know, we like this time, my son will literally get the iPad out, let him watch that a little bit while like we rest. Like we really want to enjoy the trip as opposed to just, you're running around like a
nut. That makes total sense. That makes
a lot. I will say this though, this trip that my wife and I took with our kids in August, the most relaxing part of the trip for me. So there was 20 minutes. We had been it was our second day. We'd been in the beach all morning. My son refused. He didn't want to get sand on the seat, so he only stood by the water. And I'd be like, dude, I was like, every time you get away from the water, you get sand on your feet, you know. And my daughter was the first time she had been to the beach, so she's eating the sand. She's just a complete animal. And so we get done with the beach, and we literally look at each other like, this was so fucking stressful, just with the two of them running around the sand and the suntan lotion, and just like, not going in the water, trying to get in the water, trying to not go in the water. It was just like, all right, this is not fun. And we had to get lunch. So my wife took the kids back to the room because it was their nap time. And I went to, there's a restaurant right near the hotel, part of the, like a bar restaurant, right, but part of the hotel. I ordered lunch to go. And the most relaxing part was literally those 20 minutes I had. I was sitting at the bar waiting for the food. My wife was putting the kids up. I don't know, it was a baseball game on the TV. I didn't really even care that much about baseball, but it was a baseball game on the TV. I had my phone, was texting with a couple of friends. And I was like, wow, having a beer on like a nice sunny day outside. And I was like, this is vacation right now. I'm going to cherish this for a long time. And then I came back to the room and the kids were sleeping. So like it kind of continued a little bit, but that was I wouldn't say the best part, but definitely the most relaxing part.
Yeah. Well, I was, it's tough. That's what my next question was going to be, is do we really find these trips to be relaxing, or are they just something that we're just putting ourselves through? I, you know, there were, we were lucky, like I said, because we had a place in Malta where my parents have a place, and we were able to have a lot more downtime. So that was nice. But I don't know if we were staying in a hotel, if it would be, I think you'd need a vacation from the vacation. Even this one, there was times where it was like, we got home, I'm like, man, I'm going to need a vacation from the vacation, because it was just
go
and keep the kids occupied and get from here to there. And so it was nice to come home and be home. I do have to say, a lot of times I get bummed when it's the end of the trip, and especially when we go to Malta, we were leaving family, all my family's there. But you know, this time it was pretty nice to get on the airplane. Not that I didn't miss my family. That was hard. Those last couple of days are always hard. But when I was on the airplane coming home, I'm like, man, it's going to be nice to be able to have our own pool in our backyard. The kids can run around in the house wherever they want, and no one's going to be mad. No one's going to tell me kids should stay home. It was nice to get away, and it was perfect, and we'll do it again. But it was also nice to something to look forward to come back. So it was neat that I kind of see that side of it now too.
Well, everyone I've talked to that's traveled to Europe alone with their kids is with young kids said like, oh my god, that was insane. Like we took a trip, like our trip this with the kids, we went to Cape May, which is the tip and the Jersey. It was like 3.5 hours away, and it's a family friendly area. So for us, like, you know, there was a point we went to this big fancy hotel. We were sitting outside. We were having a cocktail. Miles was playing with these like 7 or 8 year olds. And my daughter was just kind of walking around. So like, there's tons of kids running around. It was at night, and it was like, we hadn't even had dinner yet, but we're like, that's fine. Like everyone kind of understood, like, it's okay to run around and do what you want. You know, going to Europe as a whole, the ball game, we were in Barcelona and Mallorca in June. And we know someone from my son's school that was there around the same time. And they had to go to a wedding, and they took their two kids. And I saw the man, I saw the husband after. I said, how was the trip? He said, it was insane. He's like, we packed too much in. It was too much traveling, too many different places. He was like, it wasn't worth it. Then for us, like, it was the exact opposite. It was just me and Emily. And it was like, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, we're going to have another drink. Oh, we're going to have another, you know, another round of food. Like, what are we going to do? So it's two different trips there, right? You know, and it's nice to expose them. Like for your case, you're exposing them to family, so it's right. Great. You want to do that? You want to experience it? But like, I hate this. I don't want to sound like a. I think some sound like, maybe like I don't want to sound like an uneducated asshole. And like, but like, you know, you take a 2-year-old on a trip to Europe just to get them to experience the culture. It's like, well, what's the point? Because they're not going to.
No, it's hard. It'd be hard. It'd be very hard.
Like, what? Why do that to yourself? You
right.
Know?
No, and like you said, like I bet you got some of the best sleep you ever did when you went on that trip over to Europe by yourself.
Oh yeah, it was great.
I bet.
We slept. I mean, we would go to bed at anywhere from 1 to 4 in the morning, and we sleep till, you know, anywhere from like 11 to 2 in the afternoon. It was insane.
Start over again. That's what my wife and I used to like to do when we were in Malta when we were young. We were just married, but it changes. It all changes. Well,
of course.
You know, Eric, I appreciate your time. For joining us and sharing your insight on traveling with your kids and kind of joining in the conversation. Where can the folks find you and all the good things that are going on with you right now?
Yeah, check me out on Instagram. I'm most active there at Eric Reggie, ERICREGGIE. And I'm usually just every couple of days posting some different things. So check it out.
Movie stuff is going well still? Or
yeah, the movie's going well. We're very close to finishing the final cut. Sweet. And then we're going to have a sit down with our composer and work out so he can start working on the score.
Nice.
And we have animation. There's like multiple pieces of animation at the same time. We have composers getting ready to work on the score. And then we got to get our sound team to set that all up. So perfect. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we'll be done by the end of this year. And then we'll start setting it at the festivals. And
Nice. Well, keep us posted on that. You know, we're big supporters of that and all that great stuff. So thank you so much. And thanks to the listeners. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. Stick around to the end of the episode. There's another podcast from the Parents On Demand Network that if you like the Dad Experience, we're sure you will like. Check us out on Instagram, the Dad Experience, Facebook, the Dad Experience, Twitter, Daddy XP Podcast. Always email us. I will also put a phone number in the link where you can leave us messages and ask us questions, or if you have an idea about a show or all those good things, email us, call us, whatever you want to do to get a hold of us. We'd love to hear from you. So thanks so much again for listening. We'll catch you next time on the Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents On Demand, a network of high quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.